Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, hour number 2701. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, built for Tough Studio, 888-808-1019. A lot on the baseball in hour one. Mets beating the Phillies. The Yankees with the win over the Nationals last night. Also, which we haven't really mentioned, but we will at some point, maybe next hour, Cal Raleigh with another home run. We'll talk about that coming up in a little while as well. But we are now, you know, a week and a couple of days away from the Cowboys and the Eagles next week in Philly. And then, of course, you've got the Jets and the Steelers. I heard Aaron Rodgers with Adam Schein yesterday. And, you know, one of the things that, and we'll get to the Giants in a second, one of the things that really that kind of captured me for the moment was Adam had asked Aaron Rodgers what his message to Jets fans was. And I actually thought, as he's asking the question, like, he's not going to answer this. He's just going to be like, hey, I'm a Steeler. I thought he would say, you know what, couple of years, I'm a Steeler now, you know, and just kind of move on. But he didn't. Instead, it was he really spoke about his excitement when he got here, his excitement for what he thought it was going to be. And he said, we had some great moments, then paused and said, not a lot of them. Right. He goes, but there were some special moments for him. And he kept referencing, and I've heard him say this before, so I really do feel like it's not made up. He said, running out of the tunnel, that first game, as he said, it came crashing down four plays in. But he said that was such a special moment for him when he looks back on his career. It's something he'll never forget. And it sounded very genuine to me. And when he was talking about the disappointment of, you know, the way things went, it seemed real. And I know we have a lot of fun at his expense and, you know, the darkness retreats and all this. But I really do think at the end of the day, there was a great chance for this to be something special. And it does suck the way it went down.
It does suck. And I think for Aaron, you got to have a little bit of empathy. Because I thought he, from the outside looking in, and looked like he really brought in to what the Jets were trying to do and him being a part of the process and the plan of kind of changing the culture for the Jets. I mean, you know, we got, even if you backtrack before Woody showing up and kind of recruiting them, like, you know, with the whole darkness, how he ended in Green Bay was kind of, it was muddy. You know what I mean? Like him and Brian Gutekunst, the GM for the Packers, I don't think they left on great terms. I think there was a lot of, you know, darting at each other in the media. And for him to say, hey, I'm coming to New York, and him willing to play in New York, and when he landed here, a lot of the talk was, is he going to buy in to what New York is, right, and what we stand for? And he did, showing up at Knicks games, going to Yankee games, eating out, being, you know, showing his face. And then,
very present.
Very present. And I think for a lot of Jets fans, it's like, okay, he's down for the cause. And then four plays later, done, right? And then it never quite turned around, especially when he came back the next year and the team just wasn't – he wasn't the same guy, and the team really wasn't able to kind of excel with him in the lineup, especially with him being a shell of himself at the time. So it's I think Aaron's going to be great. I was down in Pittsburgh and watched him in training camp. He looked good. He's throwing the ball all over the place. He looked healthy. Valid. He hasn't played in the preseason game. Practice is different. I get that. But, we'll see where he's at.
What you just said, though, like those few words you just mentioned, he looked healthy.
He did.
I don't think he was healthy until December last year. And that's, I think, part of the problem that they had a lot of problems, of course, with the coaching situation, as we know. And once Sala was fired, things really fell apart. But in terms of his play, it was, to me, it seemed obvious as the season wore on, he started looking more and more like himself. And it's just a shame the way things transpired.
Well, I thought the team was gimpy from the start of the season, especially starting the week one against the Niners last year. I mean, he was dinged up. I think he was dealing with a hip and a hamstring a little bit. And you got Tyron Smith, who was, who I love.
Shell of himself.
Yeah. Morgan Moses was coming. They had to rehab him back onto the field. So they had a couple guys that were all they needed a big play out of, and they just weren't quite getting it. I thought they kind of shored up, and Aaron started to get healthy when Olin Fashanu got in the lineup. And so I thought the back end of the season looked a lot better than the front half. And hopefully it continues for him. I think, to your point, no matter how you feel about Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to see him go out like what we saw in New York. You want to see him to kind of have some type of rally. Hopefully it happens.
Well, not everybody gets to go out as a Super Bowl champion.
Correct.
But I do agree with you. It could be better than it was last year, sure.
Last year was rough, man.
Last year was brutal. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the expectations, it's so funny when you think about, you know, you never know what's coming tomorrow or next season or 2 years from now. I mean, if I would have sat here 2 years ago as we were getting ready for the Aaron Rodgers-led Jets into the 2023 season. Right. And if I would have sat here and told you, by the way, 2 years from now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the field at MetLife Stadium. But his whole first season will be a complete injury mess. His second season ain't going to be so good. And he's going to be playing against the Jets. You would be like, what?
On top of getting the GM fired and Robert Saleh axed. Right.
And Aaron Glenn's going to be the coach.
You can't even write that up.
You can't write it.
Yeah.
That's like saying 2 years from now, Justin Fields is going to come back. Aaron Glenn will be his coach somewhere else. And they'll be playing the Jets. I mean, the NFL is like, it's like the NBA, and it's like a live soap opera.
But I do credit him for at least trying to take some of the hype out of what week one is going to look like for the Steelers and Jets, right?
And he has.
And he has. He goes, listen, you know, I had my relationships. It didn't pan out well, but I'm coming to play football. Instead of saying things in the media that's going to kind of, you know, further ignite how Jets fans, you know, how he feels about Jets fans. Now, I do believe Jet fans are going to try to boo the paint off his helmet.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's not going to be a kind of a general's welcome. I think they're going to give him what they feel like he deserves, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares at the end of the day.
Do you think, and training camp coverage on The Fan brought to you by Geico, switch and save, get more with Geico. Do you think when you look at the Aaron Rodgers time here, what was, and let's forget the first season. The injury is what it is. Yep. I think he worked his ass off to try and get back. When you look back on it, where would be the disconnect with the fans who are going to boo the crap out of him, I think, for sure? Is it because to me there was one moment where I feel like the fans really turned on him, and that was the whole throwing to the hash mark red
Mike
line.
Mike Williams.
Yes. Yeah. That to me is the one time where I feel like it was like, excuse me? Like, you haven't played well yet this
year.
Fans
were
blaming
looking,
him?
I think fans were, Jets fans were kind of already on the fence of looking to get after him. They just wanted to, I think he didn't win them over with enough wins.
Oh, sure.
And so I don't know if there's a specific – the Mike Williams situation didn't hurt.
It was a bad one.
I thought that him and Garrett Wilson never being on the same page didn't help.
Yeah.
I thought the fact that he pretty much tried to bring everybody from Green Bay to kind of assist him in this kind of overhaul never helped. Whether it was Alan Lazard or Randall Cobb or the whole Nat Hackett situation, bringing in Devontae Adams, that wasn't – you know, they seemed – you know, there was a situation where we honestly thought, I think, as Jets fans, if we got Devontae Adams on the same field with Garrett Wilson, things will be better. This thing will turn around. It just never did.
It seemed like it would be like dynamic.
Yeah, we thought, all right, you got to have a big-time receiver in Devontae Adams. You got Garrett Wilson. The offensive line's playing better. We got these running backs. Okay, well, this thing is really going to turn around now. They go against Pittsburgh week eight, and after week eight, the season was officially over for them, and nothing came from it. So I think Jets fans was like, all right, We let you have it your way, and nothing's come from it. Like, what are we doing right now?
So, well, we will see Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers against the Jets next Sunday. The Giants, meantime, will open with the Commanders, as we know. And up until yesterday, you had Terry McLaurin sitting out, and they were at this pretty big impasse in terms of their contract negotiations. And all of a sudden, I don't want to say out of nowhere, they were clearly working behind the scenes, but the McLaurin situation gets done. Another one of these guys, I'm pretty sure he requested a trade out of Washington at one point.
Yeah.
But they all do that. That's nothing new.
But they didn't, side note, they didn't have to pay him. Like, he was still on the books. Like, he was still,
So is Micah.
Right. Like, they don't, like, he still has to honor his contract. Him holding out wanting more money, sure, I get it. But it was just interesting how this kind of all unfolded. I honestly thought it wasn't going to happen for him. I thought he was going to get traded.
Interesting. See, I with all of these situations, I always feel like they get themselves worked out at some point. Though the Trey Hendrickson one is weird, only from the standpoint of, and you know, you can make the case that, you know, the Bengals won this one, he won this, whoever. He got a big raise for 1 year. But I thought the whole point of this was to get more years and more guaranteed money. Now he gets his free agency next year, so I guess that's a good thing for him. But if you're the Bengals, that's it, 1 year.
I hate it I'm not even a Bengals fan, but it's just dumb on their part. You don't have a defense. You literally don't have a defense. And I get it, Al Golden is there, the defense coordinator. He's supposed to kind of shake things up and get better, but they don't have they don't have quality ball players. They have right now. You're asking Chris Jenkins Jr. To be better, right? You got rid of San Hubbard. Now you have Trey, who's their only impact player on defense. You paid all this money to Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but you're in a division that prides itself on defense. You've been 9-8 for the back-to-back seasons, and you think you're going to make a run? I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. I love Joe Burrow. I love watching him and everything. But he's not the end-all, be-all. You need more. If I score 100 points and you score 101 points, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. And that's what we've seen time after time with this Bengals team. They don't have a defense. They don't have quality players, and they lack serious depth. It's only like that's what was crazy about Trey Hendricks. He's their only guy that pops off the tape for you. Like you should give this guy a 5-year deal just so you can have a fighting chance on Sunday. And you dragged it out and you gave him a 1-year deal. It's just I don't get it. If Joe Burrow, and I love Joe Burrow, but if I'm Joe Burrow, as much as you fought for your guys in offensively, go fight for the guys on defense because you need them. That's why it goes back to what we were talking about with Brady. Brady knew he couldn't win those championships without that defense, and he fought for those guys, and he was willing to take what he was able to take so they can pay money and get other guys paid on defense. So
music to my ears.
It's just wild.
I get paying the quarterback a lot. I do. And I understand it's the most important position on the field. I understand that as well. All of that's true. You can't give them a third of the salary cap.
It doesn't make sense, Jerry. It doesn't make sense. And you're in a division.
Unless you're Patrick Mahomes. He's the one guy who's made it work. And I'm not even sure that he could be probably paid more too at this point.
No, I think Patrick doesn't. He did get paid. I'm lying. But if you're Joe Burrow, if you want to change your trajectory, and you know how you've ended up the last two seasons, okay, pay Chase, pay T. Higgins, but I'm doing everything I can to figure out how I can get some guys on defense that can help us out.
It's hard to outscore a team every single Sunday.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that isn't a shootout. I don't mean win 17-16. I mean, if you got to put up 35 points every single Sunday to win, that's tough.
And on top of it, he's an injury-prone quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really, everything falls on Joe Burrow, but he hasn't been dependable, right? And so from an injury standpoint, I mean, obviously his numbers are crazy. But I just don't understand what the Bengals are doing. It doesn't make sense to me.
And then what's refreshing here in New York, so now we bring it back to the Giants and the Jets. We're talking about teams like the Bengals and all the money they spent on offense.
Yeah.
What they've not done defensively. You talk about the Cowboys and Michael Parsons, the stalemate he's at with Jerry Jones and the agent, whatever that situation is. Most of their money is in the offense.
Yep.
Dak and CeeDee Lamb make a fortune. Then you come back and you look at the Giants and you look at the Jets. And to me, these two teams are building it a little bit differently. The Giants are clearly defense first. Now, they can do that because Malik Nabers is on his rookie deal and you don't have to pay him yet. And you can do that because Russell Wilson ain't making $45 million
a year. And he's on a one-year deal.
And you just drafted the quarterback who you've got the next, you hope, 5 years for at least with good in terms of salary and numbers.
Jackson Dart definitely showed that he's competent.
For sure. No 100%. Doubt. But they've done it in a way where they're going to have the defense in place. I think the Jets are going to be a pretty good balanced team as long as the quarterback play is good enough. I think they'll be good defensively. I think they'll be good offensively. Not sure they'll be great in either, but they're going to be good. And it's a lot different than the teams we were just talking about that have gotten so top-heavy by paying specific guys so much money.
Yeah, I thought the Giants I'm going to jump on the table and say this. I think the Giants got one of the best front sevens in the NFL. I think their secondary has gotten a lot better.
I agree.
And between Dexter Lawrence, you talk about Burns, you talk about Carter. I mean, I think they're going to scare a lot of people. I think they're going to walk up on a lot of people. Now, offensively is the question. From an offensive line standpoint, I watched them in the preseason. I thought they looked better. I thought Evan McNeil has done a great job, a solid job. At right guard, I think they only gave up 2 sacks in the preseason, and I think they had minimal pressures. They're rehabbing Andrew Thomas.
Oh, he's the key, right?
He's the guy, especially dealing with the foot. But it really comes down to what Russell Wilson has to offer. How much he still has left in the tank. And hopefully it's enough for them to go out there and scrap. Because I think we talked about the schedule. You talk about Washington, the Cowboys, Chiefs and Chargers in September. You're going to need the tanks in the field general to get you through that month. Hopefully Russell can do that.
I do think just watching him as limited as I saw him in the preseason, the one thing he is going to bring to this team, which they didn't have because they had a quarterback that just couldn't let the ball go, obviously, in Daniel Jones. He is going to throw the ball down the field. Now, yes. I know he needs to be protected. I get that.
Yep.
But I also know he still has some escapability. He's got some elusiveness to him, even at his age. And he is going to throw the deep ball, and he's going to stretch the field, which is something I haven't seen the Giants do in years.
No, and that's why you hope, what's his name, Deontay Miller, if he can be a dependable receiver for them as well. And if they can get the run game going with Tyrone Tracy, that'll be big as well. So I think all those guys, if they can get Miller and Tracy really have an impact on that offense, that takes the pressure off Russ to feel like he has to always go down the field, right, and play that dink and dunk game, play behind the defense. But I also I think Malik Nabers is an absolute stud.
He is. He's a guy that's going to get a huge raise in a few years.
And if you get Hyatt, get those two guys playing together, the Giants have a lot of promise, but it all comes down to the quarterback position. You know, if Russ cannot take the bad sacks, be able to throw in the middle of the field, something he wasn't able to do last year with the Steelers, the Giants, I think they're gonna shock some people.
So now let me bring it back to last year in Washington. Okay. And you tell me how much different it could be this year. And I know Washington went on to have a great season, NFC Championship, all of that stuff. Why'd they lose in Washington? Who had a bad game? Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And you think about that drop on the sideline, yep. And I know a game doesn't make a season.
But he was dinged up. Wasn't something with him?
It might have been. But there's still balls that he should have caught, and he faced the media right after and took a lot of the responsibility.
He was mature about it.
Very mature about it. And you appreciate that. And while that game wasn't going to make or break their season, I do think it could have been different. You end up winning that game.
Yeah, but I also think some things, they were just so bad on so different levels.
Yeah.
It was
But I do think things change. You win that game as opposed to giving it away. You walk away like, oh, my God, we played so and we still lost. Shouldn't have lost that game.
Yeah.
They have an opportunity. He has an opportunity now to go into Washington week one and make right from that last year.
And listen, I'm gonna be honest. I got the Giants beating the Commanders week one.
I said that last week.
And I'm gonna tell you why. Jaden Daniels has only thrown. I don't think he threw a pass in the preseason. The Commanders were 0-3 in the preseason. This preseason, reference what I'm talking about. They're 0-3. Jaden Daniels pretty much had one drive.
He had one drive. He scored on the run. That 14-yard touchdown or 17-yard touchdown run.
And the offense hasn't done anything. This team hasn't done anything. And so I think the Giants are more prime and ready for this month ahead of them than the Commanders are. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants walk on that field and they kind of dog walk the Commanders.
What do we call September now in the NFL? Preseason. For real, for the teams that don't play.
Especially for a kid that's coming into his second year, I understand what coaches are trying to do. You don't want to get your prize horse injured. But there has to be some buildup. So when your first snap, week one, when the place is rocking and everybody's juiced up,
I'm with you.
Your guy who had the ball in his hand 90% of the time is ready for the game. Now you're asking a guy in year two, Jaden Daniels. I didn't say he had an amazing first year, but let's not be silly here. And I feel like it was a silly move not getting him more reps in the preseason. Now you got a hungry Giants team that's trying to shock the world, and they're coming into your town. I think it's a recipe for disaster if you're the Commanders. You got to be smart.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Fort Tough Studio. So I learned something on the break. Willie and Eddie having this fascinating conversation about going to yoga together.
Yes.
Which is interesting because you don't seem like the yoga type.
I'm not. But I'm morphing myself into, because as we were talking behind the curtain, I'm watching older gentlemen, especially now we're in the phone generation. Guys are so hunched over with their phones and their keyboards, and when they talk to people they get stiff necked, and I'm watching so many dudes walk around with this humpback or that like crick in the neck. And so I'm trying to get ahead of it. I want to be a mobile older gentleman. I want to be able to, I want to be able to do the Tai Chi. I want to be able to whip out I want to be able to kind of just whip out any move without feeling I need a dynamic warm up to do so.
How many of these classes have you been to?
I haven't been to one.
Oh, yeah, pre-yoga.
I start next week.
October 1st, the latest.
The conversation that I just heard during the break. I thought you were like a yoga expert. You haven't gone yet.
I'm not a yogi, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Me and Eddie, I feel like we got to join forces. This may be me and you. We may have to do this together, Eddie.
Hey, Andrew, I said to him, yoga seems like a great idea. And every time I've tried it numerous times, I can't get past it. It's just there's not any action. He's talking to me like doing it for years. You just have to embrace this and you've got to do that. Yeah. You've never done it.
I haven't done it yet. No, haven't even entered the studio.
Have you bought a membership? Like, how far down the road are you here?
I've had one conversation.
Okay.
Do you have yoga pants yet?
Don't wear yoga pants.
I don't
pants.
Even have a mat. I mean, like, it's like I'm... Well, I'm
so you know where you could go.
I know what I need to do. I know where I need to be, what I need to do. Okay. I just haven't really kind of walked the mile yet.
You haven't walked the foot. You got anywhere. Oh, my gosh.
I was really trying to recruit Eddie, and we were talking about it, and so he sounded like he was down for the cause, and so I'm just trying to. We're both big barrel, big back guys, barrel chested guys. Excuse me.
Great digital content.
Yeah,
the fan comes along with Willie and Eddie to yoga, hot yoga.
Bikram yoga. I have guys that take it. They love it. I mean, you sweat and you get all that out of you. It's you feel like you had like a 2-hour workout. So it's I'm down for it. I want to get into all that.
Just I've never done it.
I've never done technically. I've never participated in any of it, actually.
Any former teammates do it, like, as active players?
No, they just talk about it.
Yeah, we sit around talk about it in front of, with wings and beer in front of us. Do I know a guy? I think, I forgot who did it. I have two receivers and guys that I know that have done it or do it. So, yeah.
Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, I've just never done it.
I got it. Well, I
got to get to the do phase. There's a lot of talking and that I will do. I just got to do the actual class.
Between that and you telling me that Fliegelman's a gymnast.
Fliegs, can we talk about that? Fliegs
He's
said.
He's at least done this.
Fliegs said in the break, he goes, I forgot how, I said you built like a beanie baby, but you look bendy. And he's like, yes. He said, yes.
Well, we were talking about all the stuff yoga. Willie does Pilates. I joked, I did gymnastics.
I do Pilates. I have done Pilates.
That's turned into Willie adjacent. Telling you guys Pilates I competed in high school.
But you all, right. You said as a kid to Willie, which Willie left out when he told me. And I'm thinking, he's no gymnast. And then Mike comes in and goes, yeah, when I was 9, I went to a gym class.
I just say he looks bendy. Like, he's built like a beanie baby. He's like, yeah. And then he threw out the gymnast thing. And I was like, oh, I can see it. And we started talking. And then you guys crushed him. He's like, Flakes? Gymnast?
Why then? And rightly so. He was
and we
nothing.
Were right.
Even though it's not like he's on a balance beam every afternoon. Are you out of your mind?
Flakes could have brought home the gold for us. and you're dragging him down.
I'm not dragging him down. Let's be real about this. Mr. Let's go hot yoga. Never been there. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, very funny. But I would love to see Eddie do that. That would be good for his health.
Me and you,
too,
Eddie. So. It's a date.
And that'll be a good segue after Andrew's done. We've got to talk about the documentary on Netflix. About
so
The
good.
Biggest Loser, which we
so
will.
Good. I will. I'm with
Hold
you.
On to it for a second. Instead, we will say good morning to, I don't know, what have you done in your life? Hot yoga? Have you done gymnastics?
I have done actual yoga.
You have?
Gymnastics, the extent of that is like birthday parties growing up. So
that's
I was
fair.
Not as established as Fliegelman was in that community.
And don't take this the wrong way. I don't mean anything by this. Mm. I could see you in yoga pants.
100%.
Thank you.
With the beads around your arms and stuff, the little
not
necklace.
A hippie.
Yeah. I didn't say you were, but I
rocking
and that
a
is
man
how
bun.
Willie originally asked Eddie because of the ponytail.
Yes, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly. Yep, you're right, Fleeks.
I don't want to see Eddie in yoga pants, nor you for that matter. I could see you in yoga pants, though.
If I'm here tomorrow, I'll wear yoga pants.
I don't mean it that way.
Get healthy, CeeLo. As Gary Cohen said on SNY last night, the August of Vientos continues.
2-1 to Vientos, line the other way. Base hit going down the right field line towards the corner. Around third, Soto. He scores. Marte digging for third. He'll be held up there as the throw comes in to stop. And going to second with a double and a run batted in. A scorching hot Mark Vientos. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-3.
So Gary had the tagline. His buddy Howie had the call on Odyssey.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Video. Vientos breaking a 3-3 tie in the fifth with that RBI double. The inning after his first RBI double held the Mets score 3 to erase an uneven start from Kodai Senga. Luis Torrens took over from Vientos from there, driving in a career-high 5, including a 3-run homer, as the Mets ran away for a 13-3 rout of the Phillies to open this fairly crucial 3-game set in Queens. Vientos, his third straight 2-RBI game, His team went 11 for 19 with runners in scoring position last night.
We've just been sticking together, talking about our approach before the game, and it's been working, especially the past couple of weeks, and let's keep it going.
You know who deserved that game more than anybody last night? The Met fans. The Met fans that have gone out to Citi Field and watched crap baseball for the last 6 weeks after they were so good at home, that was a game that they deserved.
Especially after the way it started, as you already mentioned, the missed strike three on Turner, and then the triple, and then it's 3-0, and Senga's being borderline useless again.
Yeah.
It did not feel good at all.
But it was. At the end of the night, it was.
The Phillies, again, built that 3-0 lead off 6 hits and 3 walks from Senga. He was pulled 1 batter into the fifth. The bullpen then got 15 out, issuing just 1 walk. That included Ryan Helsley working a perfect eighth. After winning, the Mets got help from the Dodgers. They thumped the Reds 7-0 in L.A., so since he dropped 2.5 games back for that last wild card spot. In the Bronx, homers from Rice, Jazz, and Dominguez, 3 RBI from Cody Bellinger, but Cam Schlittler is the Thrivewell Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion.
This pitch, breaking ball beauty. That was a hammer right there, boy. That's a great pitch by Cam Schlittler, strikeout number 7.
Dave Sims here on the Fam. Schlittler K'd 8-6, extending his scoreless streak to 14 1/3. So he's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com.
You ever wonder, you're a baseball coach now?
Yeah.
Right? It's got to be so cool to have that ability. Willie played professional football, as did Boomer. Like, they know what it's like to be great at something. Like, Cam Schlittler is, 20-something years old? He's throwing 101.
Mm.
And it's got to be such a cool experience to be out there and have that ability to do that.
Everybody
something has we will never know.
Everybody has a superpower, Jerry. You have one, right?
Sure.
Okay. And
you tell me what
it
that is.
It might be yoga, Jerry. You should try it.
I've tried yoga 3 times.
What happened?
You're 0-3.
Oh, so you have tried it.
I told you I tried it. I can't get past. I understand the benefits of it, and I know people get hooked on it.
Yep.
I'm having trouble getting hooked on it because I find it boring.
So halfway through the class, you're just walking out?
Well, no. No, I've never gone to a class for it.
Oh, you've never done it?
No. No.
See,
no,
full circle,
Eddie? No. Your ass is full circle. No. Back in 2012, we got together with Beachbody here. Okay. Eddie was a part of that, too, for about a day. And we did the Insanity, the Sean T Insanity workouts.
Oh, you guys were doing Sean T?
I did it. He tried. Al tried. And Tommy did it, right? It was the 4 of us. That's not right?
I don't remember Tommy doing it, but I could believe that.
Yeah, he was part of it. And to me, it was phenomenal. And I loved it. I don't know at my age I could do it anymore. Maybe I could. I don't know. But I'm still a member online to Beachbody, where you get all of the programs. So I have tried yoga several different times. I just
can't do it.
Yeah. I get 10 minutes in and my mind is gone.
That's the problem.
And I need something else to do.
You need it to help you.
No, I need high knees.
But you're too old for that now, Jerry.
I understand.
You need downward dog.
There you go.
Yeah. No.
You need the resting cockroach position.
The resting cockroach?
Yeah.
What is
that? Just lay there. Spread out. Like that.
And then get stepped on.
Is that a real?
No, I don't know. Okay. I have no idea.
God, what am I listening to you for?
I don't know why either.
I was thinking, wow, Willie knows a lot already. Imagine when he goes to the first class.
I just appreciate the trust you guys have me.
By the way, I was about to Google resting cockroach.
I mean, he's wrong about the name, but at the end of a workout, you do just lay there
and
focus and think and like try to clear your mind, like a little mini meditation.
Anyway, if downward dog is a thing, why would resting cockroach not be a thing?
It might be a thing. It's just not, those two things are not the same. The name and the action don't match up. But you do end by just laying there and trying to quiet your mind.
Mr. Yoga over here. Huh? Yeah. Thank you.
I just can't follow the instructions. Like, I mean, they're like, do this and that.
Help blocks. I was telling Eddie, I brought it up to Eddie because when when I was with the Steelers, they brought in a yoga lady to kind of get the guys. She brought in these building blocks, these help blocks to help the big fellas kind of hold these positions.
Right.
And so me and Eddie being biggins, I was like, oh, you know, we can do it together because they have help blocks.
But there's like choreography, like 5 or 6 steps, like put your left knee here and your right.
Oh,
and I can't follow that. after a while, I have to like look at the screen and see what he or she is doing.
I know
and
how then, to like, reconfigure myself. How to lock in
again. No. Coming from a guy who's never done it,
and I've done it.
He is prematurely be good at yoga.
Oh, I think I'll be great at it. Yeah, I plan on being great at it. Me and Eddie, me and you, we got to think. Well, okay, we don't need these guys, Ed. You know what I mean?
No, you don't. None of them. And that would be great. I'm not even joking when I ask this question. The way you just said the yoga gal was coming in.
Yeah.
When you hear that, how many guys in your offensive line room thought a yogurt woman was coming in? And then she shows up and you got exercise.
Yeah, we weren't happy. We weren't happy when she showed up with the 20 mats and like, all right, guys, let's get after it. We're just like, no, we don't really want to do this at all.
Imagine her sight looking at a bunch of offensive
sweaty linemen. All the back butter rolling down us.
She's got to be so disgusted.
The butt sweat and huffing and breathing on a Wednesday.
Would Mike Tomlin hang around for this?
No, nowhere to be found. No, he had other things to do. Watch his offensive line stretch and cry for 30 minutes.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
I don't think I mentioned that the Yankees won last night, 10-5 over the Nationals, but the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, the Mariners all won as well. So the Yanks' position in the division and the wild card chase unchanged this morning. In St. Louis last night, Cardinals first baseman Wilson Contreras got a little angry after striking out in the seventh.
What's going on with Contreras? Did they throw him out? Yeah, well, if they didn't, they're going to do it now. Contreras is losing it. The Cardinals can't even hold him back. He is so angry with the home plate umpire. And I'm thinking they threw him out, and he's objecting to getting thrown out. Not so much the pitch.
Oh, he just tossed a bat.
Oh, man. You can't do that.
You can't do that, and you can't do this.
And Wilson's now throwing stuff out of the Cardinals' dugout, and that is not a good idea. There is bubble gum all over the field right now.
Yeah, throwing the gum's a victimless crime, but the angry bat flip actually hit one of his coaches.
Yeah, oh, man. When he turned, he hit his coach in the face, too?
He definitely chest-bumped, face-bumped, almost kissed the home plate umpire. He was so angry when
this
he got right in
scene.
His ear. So all of that leads to his ejection, and he wasn't there for the end, which was good for his Cardinals. Alec Burleson, a walk-off solo homer, a 7-6 win over the Pirates. But the attendance last night in Busch Stadium, just north of 17,000 people. I think it's the smallest crowd they've ever had.
You don't see that often in St. Louis. But
that's not the Cardinal way.
Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore.
And finally, if I may, a rare golf mention on this show. there is something called the Ryder Cup fast approaching. As the host nation, the U.S. gets to pick the schedule for the first 2 days, and they're doing foursomes in the morning, alternate shot in the afternoon, and this is how the U.S. rolls. Fifth straight time as the host, they've picked this rundown for those first 2 days.
Sounds good, and that'll be at Bethpage Black coming up in about a month.
I hadn't heard.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be, you live out there, right?
I don't live that far out there.
Oh, you don't?
No.
I was going to say, I was wondering if you can tell that a big event is coming.
No, I mean, I live closer to Belmont Racetrack.
Okay.
Like, literally within, I don't know, a 10-minute drive. And I don't know that Belmont's happening when it's happening. So
fair enough.
Bethpage has no chance.
Are you going, Jerry, to the Ryder?
Nah, it's too
much for you.
It's too far. I went to the U.S. Open at Bethpage in, I forget, 2002.
Yeah.
When, and it was a scene. But getting there is just difficult.
Really?
Yeah. And I would love to go. But if you live out there, I 100% I would go every time if I could.
So people just pull up with their cooler and a lawn chair and just kind of watch?
No.
Okay.
Just pull up with their cooler? No, you got to go to Jones Beach and take the shuttle over.
Yeah, or a hotel. I went to a hotel parking lot and got on a shuttle from there. But
like, it was closer to the course?
I guess it was close to it, but I mean, it was not easy. And I was going with a media credential, it was not fun.
You know who lives out there? Stu Finer.
Okay.
My guy, Stu.
Love Stu. His house backs up to one of the courses.
Really?
Like, how cool is that? That's kind of neat. So
that's where you should go.
Well, he's invited. But again, getting out there is a major headache.
Go the night before.
I got to work.
Sleepover.
It's called work.
And Willie, the guy who's filling in for me Thursday and Friday, Brian Rascone, he volunteered.
That's right. He
be
got
on the,
picked.
Yes, he did.
What do you mean by volunteer?
To be, you know, Jerry, help me out here. What would the volunteers
could be? Be a million different things. He could be on the tee box. He could have the markers. He could be, you know, crowd control.
There's so many different things. I don't think you get to pick what you volunteer for, but we'll find out Thursday what he was chosen for.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, the guys are out. They'll be back next week after Labor Day. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. We were talking about the yoga that Willie has never done, but wants to do and wants to get Eddie
and
to
will do
it with him. And will do. You're a professional athlete. You put your mind to it. I firmly believe that you will be doing yoga in the very near future. And so we had a caller on the line, Andy in Milford, with a question. What's up, Andy?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
How are you?
I called you a couple weeks ago. Good. Called you a couple weeks ago preaching about Bucky's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, you kicked off a bleep storm that morning.
Yeah, I just came. I visited Bucky's in Virginia. It was great. Had a great drop, $250 in Bucky's, which was annoying but great.
Hmm.
Love Bucky's.
Two quick things on yoga. So my son, 23, called me the other day. He did the hot yoga. He said it was great. He said he, you know, except at the end, he fell asleep at the end in a pool of his own sweat for about an hour.
Oh, wow.
Shows
promise. But then, Willie, you got to try this one. He says his girlfriend took him the next day to goat yoga. And he says where a goat is actually walking on your back. And I said, what the hell are you talking about and doing? He says, yeah. I said, did the goat piss at all? And he goes, yeah. He goes, that's when I walked out in the first 5 minutes and told her I'd be back in an hour to pick her up.
Sounds about right. I mean,
I do goat yoga. I got no problems. They're not big goats, right? They got those little miniature goats.
I've never done goat
yoga. Imagine
a
big goat walking on your back while you're trying to hold it down with dog.
I have no idea. Al and I did this topic on the podcast in like 2017 or 18.
Goat yoga.
Yes. Where someone had written into him about it. We thought it was a joke. And as we looked into it, we realized it was a real thing.
Yeah, I know it's a thing. I'm for it. I'll try it. I just don't want to be pissed on.
Okay. I think we can probably let that one go.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize. I just don't want to be, you know, I don't want anybody's business on me during yoga.
We'd like you to come back tomorrow. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. So, but you never know. Now, it's interesting you brought up the yoga because you and I watched this Netflix documentary on The Biggest Loser. Which was, I don't know, part of me was eye-opening. Another part of me was kind of what I expected it to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean.
So the show's called Fit for TV. I think that's the name of the show.
What I didn't realize was that show had 17 seasons.
I didn't either. I thought that blew me out. I was like, they lasted that long? I remember the first 5 years was a big wave because it continued to grow.
It was new and it was popular.
And people were like crazy about it. I think in one part of the documentary, I think one of the finales, I don't know what season it was, they had 10 million views.
Yeah.
Which is like...
incredible.
Nuts. Mm-hmm. And this is the time where I think it was rivaling American Idol, which I knew was big,
right.
Whatever. What's wild about watching it is that people almost died. Like
woman Tracy?
Tracy, she had organ failure. Yeah. Like she got helicoptered out of there. But she was able to get back on to the show and compete because she really wanted to lose weight. And two, she was pissing the trainers off while not being able to participate in some of the challenges was wild. But she stayed on it for a good while.
I think if you watch the documentary, there's a lot of people you can probably criticize. I would think
the doctors and trainers get dragged.
But I thought the doctor, he came across.
I liked him the best out of all.
I thought he was great.
Zinga, whatever his name was.
Yeah, like he seemed, and I didn't realize he was Charlie Sheen's doctor later in life, which they showed in that as well. And his documentary comes out, I think, next week.
It was stated that he was the doctor for the Raiders for a little bit.
Yes, and that's where what was the name of the movie again with Al Pacino?
Oh, Any Given Sunday.
Yes, I guess that was based off of his persona. Correct. But, I mean, the way he was characterized was very positive, and it seemed like no one was listening to him. Because the one thing, even, I probably watched a few of these when I first came out.
The show, that is.
The show, yeah. But even when you're watching the documentary, you're sitting there saying, before anything even happened and you saw that she collapsed and all of that stuff, you're watching saying, how can this possibly be healthy to lose all of this weight in such a short, brief period? And then when you see the poor guy, I forget his name, who put all the weight and more back on.
I didn't mean to laugh. But when they showed how much weight he lost,
oh my
and then they put
God.
To present day.
How is that the same person?
Listen, I'm a big I've struggled with my weight off and on. But like one of the things I did appreciate towards the last episode, in reference to people who put the weight back on, one of the ladies, I think her name was Joelle, who seemed like she was mm-hmm. kind of the black cloud amongst it all. She's like, it still comes down to a level of accountability. Like, you have to be responsible with what you put in your mouth. She was able to lose all the weight. She looked great.
Well, I think she had the Ozempic.
That's what it was, too, which they do talk about in the documentary. But overall, man, it was weird because I think a lot of the challenges were mocking them overeating.
Agreed.
Which was I didn't pay attention to. And I didn't like, I was like, oh, man, these people were kind of dragging them for being, you know, big backs, if you will. So, I thought it was fascinating, man. I didn't know all that stuff was going on. The two trainers, Jillian Michaels and Ben Harper, they come off as the villains of it all.
She's suing the documentary.
Well, they asked her to be on, and she denied multiple times. I thought the whole caffeine pill thing was a little overblown. Because with all the sugar drinks, the caffeine drinks we drink right now. Like, I thought that was just kind of... But overall, I was fascinated by it, man. To see the transformations and to see some people... You know, either put the weight back on or some people continue to have it off or there's another side of it who loved the experience and there's another side who hated it. And so it's just kind of a round robin of what people went through. But I think the most interesting fact that came out of it, I think that whenever it premiered, there was a stat that said 32% or 35% of Americans are obese.
It was 31%.
There you go.
When the show started.
And now today, I think
45. It is
of Americans are obese.
We're all very heavy.
And I was like, man, that can't be true. But then I look at... Like,
it is true. All four of us are.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. But you can see what's around. Like, if you go down south, we were talking about Buc-ee's and traveling. I mean, left and right of you is nothing but fast food spots. Mm-hmm. Left and right. Like, you pick, right? And I'm talking about miles and miles. That's all you're seeing. And so when you get hungry, eventually your body's going to be like, let's eat. Let's just eat something.
Well, it's also the addiction to the crap.
Correct.
And obviously, this is a much bigger discussion when you're talking about, you know, healthy and not healthy in America. Yep. And most of us are not. I'm putting myself in that category as well. There's a fine line that you balance with big is beautiful,
mm-hmm.
big is unhealthy, be happy in your own body, but you might end up dying earlier because you're not healthy. It's very complicated. And how many people did to the chemicals and this crap that we eat?
Oh, yeah.
And who has
Well, that's the thing they didn't talk about. That's the thing I thought was... They didn't get into the food. Yeah. They were just talking about how the contestants were treated and how it all started. And what's wild about the show, as it started off as, all right, this person weighs 300-something pounds. You know, let's get them down, see how much they can lose, yada, yada. They started picking contestants as the show grew. They wanted bigger contestants.
Yeah, which meant bigger weight loss, right. Bigger transformations. It's just not safe.
It wasn't safe. And you saw that you started to see the effects it had on these people, man. It was just wild. And then it grew.
Yeah.
And they had Biggest Loser Asia, Biggest Loser Scotland. You know what I mean?
And all the merchandising.
And all this
and
stuff.
And then you said Damian Woody was in it, which I didn't know.
D Wood. That was the thing. D Wood got on it. And a lot of us, you know, biggins were like, oh, if D Wood could get on the show and lose weight and grow popularity
That makes sense, though. Football mentality, athlete. I could see regular people struggling with the way they push them. An athlete, I would not be surprised.
Well, that's the biggest thing for office linemen and defensive linemen overall, man. Like, if you don't lose the weight you've put on within the first 5 years, it gets really tough. Like, when you look at Chris Knee, I mean, he pretty much walked off the field and cut himself in half.
Yeah, O'Hara as well.
Sean O'Hara. Like, some of these guys have done a great job.
Schlereth, too.
Like, Stank was a big guy. He cut it down. But a lot of...
But Nate Newton.
Big Nate, 100%. Yes. So many of these... Like, there's a saying in reference to guys losing weight after football. They're either going to cut you out of the house or you're going to be able to walk out of the house. And every guy that's either played at that level, because we have to keep the size on, mm-hmm. some have trouble putting it on and some guys have trouble keeping it off. As we speak about the defensive tackle Desmond Watson, who just got cut by the Bucks and didn't practice all the preseason because he just wasn't, you know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. the big fella? Like, he's a guy that's like that. He needs help. He clearly needs help, and the Bucks tried to help him, and it just didn't work out. But a lot of those guys, man, so much of his mental, as we just talked about it, sometimes it's just genetics. And so
I thought the documentary was fascinating, man, and it's wild that there's different views about it. And I thought the dude, Bill Harper, being a trainer and having a massive heart attack was like,
yeah, interesting.
Was
didn't
wild
see that
in itself. Like,
not see that.
Coming. That was the curveball in the whole thing. So it was good.
It was good. Highly recommend it.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/home run. Use promo code home run for 20% off.